Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. I'm so excited about our new series on making friends for God. We should call it making friends with God and for God, because first we have to know Him before we can share the truth about God with others. But it's a great series. And through this series, we've been talking about the importance of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm excited about today's topic, Spirit-empowered witnessing. And I'm glad you joined us. And team, what do you think of the series so far? It's been awesome, hasn't it? It's been inspiring. Maybe it reminds us of some things we already know, but we need to put into practice on a daily basis. And if you've missed any in this series, you can go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. You can watch the first parts of this series. You can download the same outline that we'll be using. I'm always excited to hear of people who are downloading the outline and starting interactive Bible studies in their part of the world. That's awesome. We pray for tens of thousands of small interactive Bible study groups around the world. Talking of around the world, we've got some emails, and we're always happy to share those. This is from Nayabs. He's from Rwanda, living in Kenya. And he says, I want to thank God for Hope Sabbath School.
Amen.
I appreciate the teaching methodology. You have viewers in your hearts as you share your experiences. I find that very encouraging. So we're not just talking theory, are we? We're talking about life. Your sacrifice every week to have the panel discussion is appreciated. You've been a source of an in-depth study of the Word of God since 2016, when a friend introduced me to Hope Sabbath School. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks for writing to us, Nayabs from Kenya. God bless you. May you be a witness right where you are. Rose writes to us from Ohio in the United States of America. And she says, I really love that there are multiple teachers on Hope Sabbath School. Well, we've got several. Stephanie, you can wave, and Jason can wave, and Travis can wave, and Puya can wave. Did I miss anybody? You know, someone came to me and said, you really need to have other teachers on Hope Sabbath School. And I said, but there are a million people watching. And the person said, exactly. That's why you need to have multiple teachers, so you can inspire other people. Well, that person happened to be my wife, so I listened carefully to her because she has a vision for multiplying what God's doing. And Rose says, I appreciate that, and I like how interactive the class is. Praying the Lord will continue to grant you wisdom so that you can teach others about His love. Amen.
Amen.
Well, that's coming from Toledo, Ohio. Thank you for writing to us, Rose. Here's a note from a donor in the United States who says, we've watched Hope Sabbath School since it began. We appreciate the format and the insights given by the class. It really enhances our weekly study. Please find a check enclosed to help continue the production of Hope Sabbath School and a gift of $500.
Amen.
I just want to say thank you. We're a donor-supported ministry, and it's more than just the funds. It's partnering together in mission. So thank you so much for that gift. All the way from South Sudan, Desmond writes and says, I'm very grateful to hear you discussing the words of God. It makes me smile. And I like the scripture songs.
Amen.
I'd like to join with you, if it's possible, to be where you are. Thank you very much for your commitment, my friends. Well, Desmond, thanks for writing from South Sudan. Isn't it amazing how many countries we have Hope Sabbath School members? We know of about 220 plus countries. And so wherever you are, we'd love to hear from you. You can write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. But Desmond, thanks for writing from South Sudan. And one last note from Eduardo and Kenya in Chicago, Illinois. That's in the United States of America. We love Hope Sabbath School so much. It's so deep and fun. We sing the scripture songs with you. We can't wait for the next one. We play it several times. Good job. Well, Eduardo and Kenya, we need your help right now, because we're going to sing our theme song for this series on making friends for God. It's a 3,000-year-old scripture song taken from Psalm 105, word for word. My wife put a tune to help us, and I like it because it's a happy song. You can download it from our website, MP3 file, sheet music. If you've learned it already, let's sing it together. Class said?
Amen.
I love that song. It's really a song of focusing on God, but it also says, make known His deeds. Mm-hmm. We're talking about making friends for God, and today about Spirit-empowered witnessing. That's a theme we've been hearing in this series. Let's pray the Holy Spirit would be our teacher. Our Father in heaven, thank You that we could take these moments just to praise You and give thanks to You, to call upon Your name. And I pray in the name of Jesus that You would guide in our Hope Sabbath School discussion today, that the Holy Spirit was speaking about Spirit-empowered witnessing. The Holy Spirit would empower us even today as we speak and as we listen and interact together, not just in the studio, but around the world. May lives be impacted for the honor of Your name and for the blessing of those around us. We pray in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, we're going to begin with Jesus and a promise He made just before He ascended to heaven. And Brittany, if you could take us to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Some of you have heard this before. It's actually a lot of information here because it tells us even how Jesus will return. Literally, right? Visibly. And we'll see Him coming. That's a whole nother study. But in the context of that, Jesus has a message for His disciples. Acts 1 and verse 8.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.
Amen.
Right after that, they see Jesus caught up. And they're standing there gazing into heaven, and two angels appear. Remember, this says in white apparel. So it's kind of a clue as to who they were. And said, why are you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus will so come in like manner as you've seen Him go into heaven. But let me ask you to put you in their shoes, the sandals maybe, not shoes. They're looking up. What kind of emotions do you think they're experiencing as they're seeing their Lord and Savior being caught up into the clouds?
I believe in some ways maybe abandonment, because they have been with Jesus for the past 3 years, and suddenly He's leaving them for good in some ways. And although He told them that He was coming back, I think in some ways they probably felt as if they didn't have a friend in Jesus anymore.
He's
in person.
Going anyone else. That's a strong word, but there may be some of that they were feeling. Anybody else? How do you think they were feeling, Jason?
Probably surprise, because He's been with them for 3+ years here now, and then all of a sudden, now there's a drastic change.
Okay, so, yep, Trevor?
I think a longing to kind of go with Him, like take us with you, you know?
They, He's caught up into the air, yes.
So even Travis? Though Jesus had given them instruction, I can't help but think they're thinking, now what?
Yeah.
You know, like, okay. You know, he had given them instruction, but they had always had him to rely on. Mm. Yeah. You know, what do you think, Jesus? And so now it's like, okay, now what happens? Yeah.
Right. So with all of that in mind, it would be helpful if they could remember something Jesus had told them fairly recently. Mm-hmm. John chapter 16 and verse 7. Mm-hmm. John chapter 16 and verse 7. Chuck, if you have that and could read it for us.
Sure. John 16, 7. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you.
And the Helper is?
The Holy Spirit.
You don't have to guess. It says that. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, later on in John 14, 26. The Helper, the Holy Spirit. Help me with that. Why would it be to their advantage, Haiti, if Jesus went away? They're feeling loss and sadness and...
I think when he came, he took on a human form. So he could only be in one place at a time. But if he came in his spiritual form, in the form of the Holy Spirit, he could be everywhere at once.
So we've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Son of God comes into humanity and sets aside his omnipresence, right? He's limited in humanity, fully God, fully man. But Jesus gives us a clue as to why it would be an advantage for him to go away and the Holy Spirit, third member of the Godhead, to come.
Amen.
Right? You talk about Jesus being limited. Jesus says that he will be with you. And in you. That's right, Aisha. He'll be with you and in you. That means if you're in Switzerland or if you're in, what other countries are represented?
Brazil.
Or if you're in
Myanmar.
Or if you're in
the United States
of America, right? That he can be with you and even in you.
In you. Yes.
An advantage, Jesus says. It's not that the Holy Spirit's greater than the Son of God, but that ability to be in different places at the same time, as Haiti mentioned. Travis.
I'd just like to point out, too, that in the context of the verse we just read, Jesus was telling them that he was going to away. And so they were already worrying. So he's like, no, it's going to be okay. I have an advantage for you, which will outweigh your sorrows.
Yeah. In another place in John 14, of course, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Right. If I go and prepare a place, I will come again. But the question is, what about in between those times? Right? And he says, it's okay.
It's okay.
I'm going to send you a helper. He'll be with you and in you, wherever you are. And let's look at some of the blessings that Jesus promised. John chapter 15. Laurel, if you could read verses 26 and 27. You know what I love about Hope Sabbath School is we're not just saying, well, this man or this woman. No, we're reading what Jesus said,
Amen.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. This is what Jesus said is the blessing. Haiti? Laurel, sorry. Would you read verses 26 and 27 of John 15?
I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. He will testify about me, and you will testify also because you have been with me from the beginning.
So several advantages will come in this one testimony of Jesus. Give me one of them. What's the Holy Spirit going to do, Stephanie?
Be a comforter.
He's going to be a comforter.
He will guide you in all truth.
Wow, you're quoting from another text just now. Let's stay in John 15, 26 and 27.
He'll testify of Jesus.
He will he'll point us to Jesus. We might say, oh, I can't do this. And he'll say, look to Jesus, right? But what else is he going to do? What's the next phrase, Brittany?
He'll help us to be with
him. He'll help us to testify, too. So those are the two things. Now, Trevor, I'm going to take you, if you would, with us. Go to John chapter 16. Because you were quoting ahead, which is okay. Verse 8 and verse 13, because in addition to pointing us always to Jesus and helping us to point people to Jesus, what does Jesus tell us in John 16, verses 8 and 13?
And I'll be reading from the New King James Translation.
Verse 8, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And verse 13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come.
So I got a confession to make. When it said, I will guide you, he will guide you into all truth, I was thinking of like a lot of little truths, but who does the Bible say is the truth?
Jesus.
That's right. And it says in another verse, I'm going to testify about Jesus, right? Yeah. Yeah. So he's going to guide us into all truth, which is embodied in Jesus. Christ. Now, it's also found in his teachings, right?
Amen.
And that's why he's going to bring his words to our remembrance, will you?
I appreciate that we read verse 8 and verse 13 there, because if we were only to read verse 8, it said the Holy Spirit would convict us of our sins. Now, if that is the only job that the Holy Spirit does, we would be hopeless if we all know our sinful nature and our sinfulness, but without hope. But then the Holy Spirit is not only pointing out and convicting us of our sins, but also leading us to Jesus.
Amen. 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 That's so important, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Now, we've got a whole study ahead of us, but we've been seeing, even in early studies, how important the Holy Spirit is. So let me ask an application question before we move on. If the Holy Spirit's so important that Jesus says it's actually to your benefit that I go away, I'm going to send him to you. We've learned some of the things he can do. How can we learn to be more cooperative with the work of the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
Mm. How can we learn, Gary?
Well, part of what John is saying the Holy Spirit would do, or Jesus is saying that he would do, is he would testify of me. So getting to know the me, getting to know Jesus would help, right?
So you would say spending time in the Gospels, reading the story of Jesus, because we said he's going to bring that word to our remembrance, right? That would be a way of cooperating. Sabina? Yeah.
And I also think it's very important that not only we are able to listen, but also obey. And that's how we can cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Because if he convicts you of something and still you are not willing to obey him, it's pointless, right?
Isn't there a text in Acts chapter 5 that the Holy Spirit is given to those who obey him? Verse 32. Yeah. So, not that we earn the Holy Spirit by being obedient. No. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I will pray the Father, and he will send you. So it's because of our relationship with Jesus. But Sabina has a good point. If we're demonstrating a rebellious and resistant attitude, we will hinder what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us. Puya.
I think it's also helpful for us to realize that this is the work of Jesus, the work of the Holy Spirit, not ours.
Right.
Amen. So in terms of talking about cooperation, I think it would be helpful for us to realize that God can accomplish his work even without us. Yeah. And yet he wants us to participate and cooperate with him. So by realizing that this is his work, and it is a privilege for us that he has invited us to join in the mission.
But being opening up to be available, Jason? Yes.
I think it can also be a mindset. Maybe we don't have a rebellious or hardened heart, but oftentimes we can get so busy and focused on other things that aren't necessarily bad, but they may not be as Spirit-led. So there's a part that we need to kind of maybe sometimes shut down from other things and really open ourselves to the Holy Spirit.
Right. Go somewhere without our phone. What an amazing thought, right?
Amen.
Brittany.
And we also need to ask. It's a daily choice that we need to ask, because the Bible says that the Father is more willing to give good gifts than we are to our children. So when we ask, he will give us the Holy Spirit. But it's a daily thing. It's not a one time I receive the Holy Spirit, now I'm good for life. I have to be daily filled.
Luke 11:13. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who
ask?
So God, I'm available, right?
Yes.
And I want to make friends for God.
Amen.
But it begins by being friends with God, doesn't it?
Yes. Amen.
So we're going to take a look now at a few stories in the book of Acts. I've wondered if we should call the book of Acts the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because they're amazing stories. But just to give us a perspective on what God would do in us and through us if we were fully available to the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Sabina, could you read for us in Acts chapter 2, verses 37 to 41?
Okay, so I'll be reading from the New International Version. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accept his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day.
Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
What did the Holy Spirit do on that day of Pentecost that human beings could not do?
Convict the heart.
Convict people's hearts. They interrupt his sermon. Yeah. Right. Yes. Peter and the other apostles, they're preaching in other languages, aren't they? Mm-hmm. They interrupt, they say, "Brothers," they interrupt the sermon. They're under such conviction. "Brothers, what shall we do?" Mm. Isn't that amazing, Jack?
It's fantastic. You know, I remember when I was in high school determining what I should do with my future. I felt the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart. And I'm saying that in context of what we're learning today. Mm. And there was a call made by a pastor at a week of prayer. And as he was making the call, he was calling us to stand up if we wanted to be baptized. I had not been baptized yet. And I sat there and I thought, "I do not want to stand up. It's going to be embarrassing. Other people are going to look at me and I'll feel awkward." But the call was so powerful, I had no choice but to stand up. And I think this is what the Holy Spirit does. When the Holy Spirit convicts us, it's powerful. Yes. And I praise God for that decision.
Amen. Amen.
And here you are today.
Amazing.
On Hope Sabbath School.
Yes, that's right.
That's awesome. We could look at lots of stories in the book of Acts. I'm going to take us to Acts chapter 5 now, verses 12 to 16. Aisha, could you read for us Acts 5, beginning with verse 12?
Yes, I'll be reading from the New International Version. The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Mm-hmm. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed.
Mm-hmm. You can't read that, Travis, without going, supernatural things are going on there.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't know if the shadow cast caused the healing. I don't know that. It just, they were hoping maybe they could even get a shadow. Mm-hmm. We know healing comes in the name of Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
But miracles were happening. People were being healed physically. Right. People were being set free from the power of demons. Mm-hmm. What do you think about this kind of spirit-empowered ministry?
Amen.
Stephanie?
I guess in my mind, I'm thinking if it happened then, God can do the same thing at the latter rain for us.
Amen.
So would it be too much to expect that God would do that?
No.
Sabina?
Indeed, Jesus had warned us that we would do even greater things in his name. Mm-hmm. And when I look at that, it's just, I see his word being fulfilled, right? Mm-hmm. When he promised.
How could we do greater things? You're right that he said that. How could we do greater things? Mm-hmm. He raised the dead and he fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How could it be that we would do greater things than these? Mm-hmm. Because I go to my Father. What do you think, Chuck?
It's the concept that the Spirit is everywhere at all times. Mm-hmm. So the Holy Spirit can be with every believer everywhere on the globe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And every believer can have that connection and by the Holy Spirit and through the power of Christ be doing miracles. I mean, it's exponential.
Yes.
Maybe it's like I talked about at the beginning. If you go from one teacher on Hope Sabbath School to 10,000 teachers.
Yes. Yes.
All empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Yes. That's it.
And I think another greater is it's one thing to see Jesus, Son of God, perform a miracle.
Right.
It's another thing to see Jane trusting in the power of the Holy Spirit or... Mm-hmm. I could mention one name, then I have to go to all of you. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
People might say, that's even more amazing.
Yes.
Because you're just like me.
Right.
Fully yielded to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
We've got to look at one more. Like I said, we could spend our hour in the book of Acts. But mm-hmm. Acts chapter 16, verses 5 to 10. One more story. Gary, if you have that, would read it for us.
Okay. Acts 16, verses 5 to 10, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord hath called us to preach the gospel to them.
Amen. What's the Holy Spirit doing here, Haiti?
Opening and closing
it's
doors.
It's like a GPS, right? You go the wrong way, it's like, what does it say on the GPS? Recalculating.
Rerouting.
Rerouting, whatever it says in your language, you know, it's like, wrong way, rerouting. Can the Holy Spirit, you talked about Farday, could the Holy Spirit be that clear in directing, saying, Puya, I'm not going to send you here. I'm going to send you there.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I believe so. I mean, we may not have dreams like this literally, but I believe God, through the Holy Spirit, intentionally closes doors in our lives and opening doors for us. So I believe the Holy Spirit is still at work in the same way today.
Yes.
Amen.
So we're not only seeing what we would call signs and wonders in terms of miracles, casting out demons, but very clear direction given to followers of Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah. Sabina.
And I find this passage amazing also because it speaks on how much the Holy Spirit was essential in the expansion of the church. Mm-hmm. Because this part, when he's moving to Macedonia, is actually when the church started expanding in Europe afterwards. It was the first time he crosses to that side.
That's so, right. He went from Asia Minor into what we call Europe.
Exactly. And even Paul, as much as a godly person he was, maybe he didn't have the strategic vision that God only could give him through the Holy Spirit.
No. Yes, go this way. And even give a vision to tell you.
Because his intent was to keep going to Asia, you know, to keep going in another direction and the Holy Spirit.
This is so exciting.
Yeah.
So it can happen today.
Yes.
In fact, it is happening today.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to give you an opportunity, whether it's in India or in Myanmar or in Malawi or wherever, where you've seen the Holy Spirit empowering people for mission and you say, God is at work here. Give me an example of that you've seen. Anybody? Yes, Travis.
Well, I've seen it in Malawi. We talked about this in a previous study. Gentleman named Golden that I'm fortunate. I have actually the pleasure to work with there, but since he and his wife have become Christians, they have worked without money, without anything, basically, and more than 60,000 people have given their hearts to Jesus.
Amen.
And they've just labored, and the Holy Spirit has just used him and used him over and over, him and his wife, because without his wife, Golden would be done. So she's a super important part of that ministry as well, but he's used the two of them to go and just share with power the gospel in the country.
And by the way, some of you might say, well, it's easy to do it there, but we're talking about in very difficult non-Christian environment.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit is working in phenomenal ways. And a sign that the Holy Spirit's working is if you were to talk to that evangelist, he would tell you it's all God's work.
That's right.
All right, someone else. Where have you seen the Spirit empowering for mission? Puya.
A couple of years ago, I had the opportunity to go back to Myanmar, the country I was born in. And Myanmar is a Buddhist country. And one of the schools that I visited was a Buddhist young man who came to me after I preach a sermon, and I preach about the love of Jesus and that God exists. I mean, in the Buddhist teaching, God doesn't exist. So I presented this presentation, and he came to me and he said, "Pastor, I want to get baptized." I was very surprised.
Wow.
And I asked him what prompted the decision. Well, all along, God has been leading him in the journey of faith. And he told me a very amazing story that took place 2 years earlier, where he had a dream. And in his dream, he saw three people. He couldn't see their faces, but he just realized that these are holy people, three people. And he woke up the next day and he realized this must be a dream for God, from God telling me that three people would come to me to lead me to the truth. Mm. Now, by the time I arrived at school, 2 years after he had that dream, was when he came to me and he said, "Pastor, you are the third person from my dream." Because I had been watching a sermon from one pastor on YouTube, and the second person was a medical doctor who was giving me Bible studies. But something hasn't clicked yet. But through your sermon tonight about the fact that God exists and that He loves us, I believe you are the third person from my dream 2 years earlier, and I have to get baptized. And so I just realized, wow, God, the Holy Spirit, God, through the Holy Spirit, has been working with that person, leading him on a journey. And here I was 2 years later. God works in miraculous ways, even today.
Now, I know those of you on the front row can't see Puya's face, but you guessed that he's smiling, right?
Yes.
Because it's a joyful thing to be a Spirit-empowered witness.
Yes.
To see the Holy Spirit going way beyond you
to
change people's lives.
Yeah.
We want to move on in our study, and we want to talk about the Holy Spirit and the Word of God.
Amen.
Now, the Word of God in the Scripture is used in two ways. It's referring to Jesus. He's called the Word.
Amen.
The Word of God, and also to the written Word. The Holy Spirit, follow me now, was crucially involved both in the coming of Jesus, conceived of a virgin by the Holy Spirit, remember, and in speaking to the prophets, inspired by the Holy Spirit, preserving that text for us. So there's a very close connection. You say, "Derek, why are we mentioning that? We just want to talk about Spirit-empowered witnessing." I had someone come to me one time, I'll never forget, and said, "I don't need the Bible anymore. I have the Holy Spirit." And I thought, something's wrong. Because the Holy Spirit will always point to the Word of God. So let's look at a few texts that emphasize that point. Let me just say this, though. Don't say, "Well, I've got the Bible, I don't need the Holy Spirit." Because people who had the Word of God and not the Spirit crucified Jesus. Right?
Yes.
That's right.
And also led a great apostasy in the Christian church. So we need to be empowered by the Spirit, connected to the living Word of God, and obedient to the written Word. Let's look at a few texts together. John 14 and verse 26 is a text, Jason, that we've quoted a few times. How does it read in your Bible?
I'm reading here from the New King James Version, John chapter 14, verse 26. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you."
So he will bring to remembrance the words of
Jesus.
Where do we find? We weren't there then, were we? Where do we find the words
in
of Jesus?
Bible.
The Bible.
They're written down by the Holy Spirit, right? They're written down for us. Do you remember a text which talks about when we stand before the council, we shouldn't be afraid? What we'll say? But it will be the Spirit of my Father who speaks through you. I think what happens there is not just we're just going to go blah, 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 blah. The Holy Spirit is going to bring the word of Jesus to our mind. And we will quote with boldness the word of God. Let's look at another text. John chapter 16, verses 13 to 15. Trevor, could you read that for us, please?
John chapter 16, and I'll be reading from the New King James Translation, starting with verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you.
Mm-hmm. You can't separate verse 13, which is guiding you into all truth, from verses 14 and 15, mm-hmm. which says he's going to point you to me, right?
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
Do you see how important that is? Always pointing to Jesus. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Acts 4 and verse 31. Gary, if you have that, would read it for us. This is one of my favorite verses in the book of Acts. I've got lots of them, but this shows us the importance of the Holy Spirit, prayer, and the Word of God. See how they're linked together.
Okay, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Acts 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the Word of God with boldness.
Amen. Mm.
What happens when we're filled with the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm. Bold. Bold.
Yeah, it's not just some kind of unknown speech, right?
Yeah, right, yeah.
We're
yeah.
speaking the Word of God, and how are we speaking it?
With boldness.
That's the same word, by the way, as is found in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. It's the same word.
Right.
They took note that they had been with
Jesus.
Right. Mm. So here they're speaking the Word of God boldly. That's what Acts 8, verse 4, it says. They went everywhere preaching the Word. Mm. Preaching the Word. One last insight of the Holy Spirit and the Word in Acts 13, verses 44. Brittany, could you read verses 44 through 49 for us, please?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Acts chapter 13, verse 44. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. And contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, 'I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth.'" Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. Mm. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. Mm-hmm. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region.
Amen. Mm.
Now it says the whole city came together. Why?
Hear the word of the Lord.
To hear the word of God.
Yes. Mm. You're right, to hear the word of God, but how did they get there?
The Spirit brought
them. The Holy Spirit brought them.
That's right. Mm.
That's crucially important, isn't it? Yeah. Just like Puya, the Holy Spirit brought that young Buddhist gentleman to your meeting. Mm-hmm. Because you were the third one in the dream, right? Yeah. So the Holy Spirit's working all the time.
That's right.
And what I'm hearing in our study today is, as witnesses, we want to be available to be used, to be in the right place. At the right time, so that we can join God in what he's doing. Mm. Powerful, powerful story. The word of God spread throughout the whole region. Mm. Well, there's one verse in Hebrews chapter 4 that I misunderstood. There's a few others I've misunderstood. But I limited my understanding because I didn't read the next verse. Mm. So I'm going to ask Jason if you'd read Hebrews 4. If you'd begin by just reading verse 12, and then I'll ask you to read verse 13.
I'll be reading here from the New King James Version. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says,
For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Mm-hmm. Is there anyone that's heard that text before?
Amen.
Okay,
yes.
Maybe someone watching you say, Derek, I've heard that one before. I can remember hearing that the Word of God is living and active, yeah. sharper than any two-edged sword. Yeah. Mm. And what did I think that was referring to?
Mm-hmm. Our physical.
To the Bible.
Yes. Right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying it isn't that too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I want you to read on to verse 13. Because the Word of God is not simply referring to the written Word. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 4 in the New King James Version says this, and there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account.
Mm-hmm. Who's that talking about, Gary?
The Holy Spirit.
Jesus.
No, it's not the Holy Spirit.
Jesus.
That's Jesus, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. He is the Word.
Yes.
Doesn't it say in the Bible, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And you say, whoa, He was in the beginning with God. By Him all things were made, and without Him
nothing was made
that was made. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so thankful for verse 14 of John 1. Mm-hmm. What does it say, Brittany?
The Word became flesh.
Quote it. The Word.
The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Oh, I love it when people memorize the Bible. Yes. Because it can't get much more important than that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jesus is the Word of God. Mm. That's why He could say, these are they that testify of me.
Yes. Right.
Is the Bible important?
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely. We wouldn't know about Jesus without the Bible. We have a reliable, inspired record. Mm-hmm. But more important than the written Word is the living Word. He is the one who's sharper than any two-edged sword.
Amen. Right.
Isn't that important? And see the relationship. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit always pointing to Jesus and always pointing to the Word.
Yes. Mm.
So again, an opportunity to testify. You're in a situation and you're not quite sure what to say, and the Holy Spirit brings a Word of God to your remembrance that's just the right word for that situation. You are a Spirit-empowered witness.
Yes.
Amen.
And you don't walk away going, I'm good. You walk away going,
thank
hallelujah,
you.
Thank you, God, right? Can you share a time when that happened for you, when the Holy Spirit helped you, brought a word to you? Anybody? Yes, Brittany.
When I was in college, I went on a short mission trip to Lebanon. And there we were doing a week of prayer at a high school and an elementary school. And the majority of the students there were not Christians. And there was a student that came up to me after one of our presentations. And she had a lot of questions for me. And we were on the playground. It was recess time. And she was a high schooler. And she came up to me and she started asking me, you know, one question after another, and I had my little Bible with me, and I just was praying for God to guide me because I didn't always know where to go, but the Holy Spirit was giving me verses to share with her to try to answer some of the questions that she had, and that was the first time that I think that I had experienced God guiding me through the Word to share with somebody else, and after that experience, the whole team had been eating lunch, and afterwards, I wasn't even hungry because I was so excited by what God had done through His Word.
Maybe that's one of the names of the Holy Spirit is the Helper.
The Helper.
Yes. Right? Did you have an experience you wanted to share?
Yes. I remember a time when I traveled to a school and I did a week of prayer. And one of the students came to me afterwards and shared with me her anxiety and her worry about the future. And she was overwhelmed about the challenges that she was facing. And I was praying in my heart. I didn't know what to say. Honestly, I didn't know what to tell her that could give her the comfort. And then I remember a verse from the Bible, and it was from Matthew 6:34, where Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow, right? For tomorrow will worry about its own thing, and it's good enough for a day, right? Sufficient for the day, it's its own trouble. So I tell her, hey, just take it one day at a time. And she thought about it, said, I've read that verse before, but I've never looked at it that way.
Wow.
And then the Holy Spirit.
So who was the Holy Spirit? Hold your thought. Who was the Holy Spirit working on at that moment?
Both
of you, right?
Yes.
The speaker and the hearer.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was just powerful that she has read the text before, but yeah. somehow as we were praying together and seeking the Lord through His Word, God, the Holy Spirit, spoke to us once again through the Word.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen.
I don't know if this has happened to you where God brings a text and you share it and they say, but that's my favorite Bible verse. How did you know that? Mm-hmm. That's a verse that was given to me when I was a child. How did you know that? Mm-hmm. And the answer is, we didn't know that.
Right. Yeah.
But the Holy Spirit was our helper.
Amen.
Yes.
One time I got a phone call from a young man. His wife had just dropped dead. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm thinking, what can I say? I get to the emergency room. She worked in the hospital. She died in the hospital. She dropped dead. Her heart never started again. Mm-hmm. She was a young woman. Mm. And right in front of me, someone walked up and said to this now widower, he lost his wife, how's it going? I thought, what a silly thing to say. Mm. How's it going? I mean, it's obviously going really poorly, right? Mm. I'm like, God help me. Text of scripture flashed into my mind, and I said, I have a word for you from the Lord. Fear not, for I am with you.
Yes.
Amen.
Be not dismayed.
Right.
I am your God.
Amen.
I will strengthen you.
Yeah.
I will help you. He'd had addictions in the past. His wife was a Christian. She'd led him to Jesus. Mm. He was walking in the way of the Lord.
Mm.
People said, he's just going to walk away again. I will help you.
Amen. Mm.
I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
Amen.
I don't know why God brought. He could have said, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Mm. But that was the word.
Amen.
God said, that's the word I want you to share with Steve.
Mm.
I didn't walk away from that going, wow, I'm good. When the Holy Spirit empowers you, it's always connected to the Word and pointing to Jesus.
Yes.
And you sense that.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
There's something really powerful when you experience that. Well, let's talk about life transformation in our last section. A few stories that illustrate the book of Acts is full of them. We're going to look at three. And then you can share another one that you say, that one's amazing. Maybe it will encourage some of our Hope Sabbath School members to go read the book of Acts, the Acts of the Holy Spirit.
That's
because
right.
The Acts of the Holy Spirit is about Spirit-empowered witnessing. Acts chapter 16, verses 11 to 15. Laurel, could you read that for us, beginning with verse 11?
I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. So putting out to sea from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and on the day following to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony. And we were staying in this city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to a riverside, where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled, a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay. Mm-hmm. And she prevailed upon us.
Amen.
So if you know anything about Thyatira, that was that tricky word. You go, that reminds me of somewhere in Revelation, right? Thyatira. And you also look at this successful businesswoman, a seller of purple cloth by the name of Lydia. What might you think when you go to a quiet place to pray and you see a successful businesswoman there? Chuck? From Thyatira, by the way.
You probably are not thinking there's an interest in her heart for what you have to share.
Right.
It's not a good thought, I'm saying, but that would tend sometimes to be our response.
And I'm not saying that would be your response, but a natural response could be, here's a successful businesswoman, and she's from a city that, at least what we know about from the book of Revelation, was there were a few devout people there, but it was not really a center of righteousness, was it?
Right.
Not like Philadelphia, okay? Mm. You might just say, hmm. Mm. But what happens? What does Paul notice? Mm. What do you see in the text?
The Lord opened her heart.
Amen. The Lord opened her heart.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Not only does the Lord open her heart,
her household.
Thank you, Laurel. Yeah. She says, do we need a place for a house church?
Yeah,
right?
Amen.
Yeah.
She becomes a leader.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Could we have a house church here?
Yes.
What does that tell you, Travis?
Well, it's interesting. She doesn't just say, can we do it here? She persuaded them. Mm-hmm. She was so excited. She wanted to have a house church there.
Okay. So it was...
We just don't know where we're going to meet somebody who's willing to have their heart open.
Yeah. Anybody else? What do you see? I don't know where the men were. They should have been praying too, right? Well, here's some godly women gathered by the way, I've been by that river. I have a picture of my wife dangling her feet in that river. Mm. We know where Philippi is located, and they don't move rivers. Mm-hmm. The river's still there. Mm. Fed from springs in the mountains. Mm. Just thinking about these women praying. Yeah. Mm. What do you think they were praying?
Mm. Mm. They're probably praying for understanding.
Could it be like in Puya's experience? God, could you lead someone to bring truth to us?
Yeah. Right.
But it would be easy if we were not spirit-empowered to go, I don't know, this successful businesswoman from, where was she from again, you know? Yeah. I don't know. But God opened her heart. Isn't that an amazing story?
Yes.
Anybody else? What impacts you, Sabina?
No, I think it's so amazing because the text says that she was a worshiper of God. Mm-hmm. Ah. So even before listening to the message that Paul had, maybe, you know, she, I have no information, but maybe she was drew herself or had some, heard something about the law before. Mm-hmm. Or maybe she just had an experience with the Holy Spirit and she was eager to learn more about one God, if there was any. And God led someone that had further light to talk to her. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very beautiful how God is listening to people's hearts. And we should be attentive to seek for those who are seeking as well. You know?
Ah, yeah. Beautiful, beautiful. Well, we're still in Acts chapter 16. I'm going to take us to verse 23 because things get pretty difficult there and they get beaten. Mm. And let's pick up the story in verse 23. Chuck, could you read it for us beginning in Acts 16, verse 23? They're probably rejoicing in the Lord at everything that's been happening, but then the enemy turns the tide of popular opinion against them. Let's pick up in verse 23 of Acts chapter 16.
So I'm reading from the New King James Version in Acts 16, 23 and on. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. Mm-hmm. And the keeper of the prison, waking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Mm-hmm. Then he called for a light, ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Mm-hmm. Now when they had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm.
So how many transformed lives were there by the Holy Spirit that night?
Whole household.
Whole family?
Yes.
Any of the prisoners?
Possibly.
Yes, possibly.
Silas? Yeah. Paul?
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Could you be in that situation without being transformed?
Mm. Right.
Could it be that even spirit-empowered witnesses are transformed?
Yes. Yeah.
Day by day, yes. Right? Yes. Mm-hmm. From glory to glory.
Right. Yes.
What remarkable, miraculous work do you see in this story? There's lots of miraculous pieces. Mm-hmm.
The Spirit is the one who convicts hearts and souls. The Spirit is the one who prepares people to accept Christ. Mm. For us, it's for us to be there and be aware of where the Spirit is working. Yeah. Mm. But reality is, it's not us as Christians who change people's lives. Yeah. It's the Spirit who does.
All right.
It's for us to just be aware of it, cognizant of it.
Yeah. So I'm going to change this jailer's life and his family tonight. So I need you there in the dungeon.
That's right.
Sorry they had to beat you. God's at work in all of those situations. Travis?
The fact that God, the power of the message that God has given us through Jesus, can transform someone's life from killing themselves to taking the word to their family is just amazing.
Absolutely.
And have an earthquake where no building falls on them and kills them, just doors open and chains fall off. Yeah. And by the way, the jailer's about to kill himself. It's still dark, and Paul knows it and calls out, "Don't harm yourself." Yeah. That's a miracle too, isn't it?
Yeah.
I want to be part of a ministry where God's working like that, don't you?
Yes.
Spirit-empowered ministry. We don't have time for you to share. You'll have to write to sshope@hopetv.org. And we'd love to hear from you a story that means something to you in the book of Acts where you see Spirit-empowered witnesses. Right. But as we've heard in our study today, it's not just about back then. It's about now. It's about with us.
That's right.
When we surrender to the Holy Spirit, connected to Jesus, obedient to His Word, and we say, "God, I'm available to be a Spirit-empowered witness for You." Is that your prayer today? That's our prayer. Amen. Let's pray together that the work of God would be fulfilled in us and through us. Amen. Father in heaven, thank You for this powerful study of Your Word. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for guiding our study today. Thank You for the many accounts of Spirit-led people and transformation by the power of the Holy Spirit. God, work the same miracles in us and through us today, we pray, for the honor of Your name. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. This series is called Making Friends for God. But we also want to make sure we've made friends with God. And if you want to learn more about the Word of God, go to hopebiblestudy.org, hopebiblestudy.org. Study the Bible for yourself. Fill yourself with the Word of God. Let the Holy Spirit use you and go out and be a blessing to those around you.